Hey everyone, welcome to the Shameless Podcast. I'm Srinadeep.
I'm Hanya.
I'm Abby.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Emily, and we are the founders of Shameless.
Hey everyone, it's Emily from Shameless here. October 11th through October 17th is OCD Awareness Week. In celebration, I wanted to share my experiences struggling with OCD and anxiety.
Hey guys, it's Emily here, and today I'm going to be sharing my story of my journey through OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder, and anxiety. So first, I want to start off by saying how grateful I am that I was able to meet such a great bunch of friends who I was able to create the Shameless platform with, where people can share their stories, and I hope that we can encourage others to use their voice to hopefully inspire or influence others to do the same. So today, I wanted to share my story to remind other people that they aren't alone in their struggles, and hopefully people who are undergoing struggles similar to mine can feel like they aren't walking alone. To start off, my story starts about 3 years ago when I went on vacation around the world to spend time with my family and sister before she moved away to college. And one of the first places that we had decided to go was London. And for me, that was so exciting because I had never traveled to Europe before, so it was a whole new environment and I was super excited. One of the first places that my family had planned to go was the Imperial War Museum, which is a very famous museum regarding the events in World War I in London. So when I first went in, I remember the building was so amazing and there were all these huge planes on the ceilings. It was just so exciting to be in like such a historical place. From that point on, unfortunately, things started going downhill when I first started going into one of the exhibits. And I remember walking in, it was dimly lit, there were a few lights, and there were videos on the sides of the battles, and there were clothes of soldiers on display and weapons. I was going through the displays and reading the small descriptions that they have next to each item, but at that point they started playing sound effects of soldiers shouting and people screaming. I think they did this to add to the effect to help recreate the war environment. But personally for me, these sounds started triggering fear and panic, and I felt so scared in that moment that war would break out, and the idea of war was just so terrifying because people would die, people would get hurt. Because I was so scared, I started having these thoughts in my head and these voices telling me that if I had read all the words in the exhibit descriptions, I could have the control to prevent war from breaking out and I would be safe. And because I was so scared and panicked in that moment, like I had no choice but to listen to the voices in my head. And I was convinced at that point that reading every single word in all the descriptions could help prevent war. These descriptions were very, very long and the text was very tiny. I remember I would just reread them and I would just stand in front of each exhibit description for several minutes to make sure I didn't miss reading any word. I continued doing this for the rest of the exhibits. Even though my mind felt so cluttered and even though I was so stressed, in some way I felt relieved because it made me feel like I had some sort of control in preventing war. But at the same time, I felt so overwhelmed because I felt like people's lives were in my hand, that I had the control of life and death.
That's such a big weight to have on your shoulders, like that feeling probably.
Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I think I was so scared because my family was with me and like seeing all these tourists around me and thinking that they could die because of me not reading one word was super stressful. For me, even to this day, like one moment I think I really look back to, or one moment that comes to my mind every now and then, is one of the last display descriptions I was reading. This display description was different in that it was an electronic slideshow. So there were a bunch of different descriptions, and every minute or so they would switch to another description and keep going like that. And so I remember I stood in front of that slideshow for about 15 or 20 minutes, reading every single slide as quickly as I could before they switched to the next slide. but I wasn't able to finish reading one of the last sentences in one of the slides. And I remember I felt so panicked and stressed over the fact that I didn't read all the words in that slide. In that moment, I told myself that I was going to reread everything and wait until that slide appeared again. But unfortunately, after a couple of minutes, that slide never reappeared, and my mom had just come to tell me that we had to leave to catch the bus outside the museum. I can't really put into words the fear and the panic that I felt that I had to leave the museum without being able to finish reading that slide. I felt so scared about my own thoughts, and I felt like I couldn't tell my family what was going on in my head because I was scared of it, and I was really scared that they would think that I was going crazy. Throughout the trip, I continued to carry the burden and fear of war breaking out. Unfortunately, my family had planned to go to 4 or 5 more museums after the Imperial War Museum. The second museum, I remember, I continued reading all the exhibit descriptions, but for the museums after that, I was so stressed, like my mind couldn't handle reading all the tiny words again. So I remember for the rest of the museums, I just stared at the ground. And I was so scared to tilt my head or to move my eyes from the floor because I knew that as soon as I would look at a display description, I would be attached to it and I would just stand in front of it, rereading it.
Did this also happen for you with other things, like maybe menus at restaurants or street names or something like that?
Yes, but not as prevalent as when it happened in the museum. Like, for example, I would be walking down the streets and I would see a billboard. A habit that I had was I turned my head more than 10 times, looking back, reading it, and then feeling like I missed something, looking back and reading it, and I kept doing this. And there's a lot of billboards in London.
I saw a comment that I know, like, the spiraling feeling, like, should I tell my family or should I just keep on, like, having the stress put on myself?
Yeah, for sure. After leaving London, these obsessive thoughts and compulsive actions died down, thankfully, because I was able to travel to a lot of different countries and visit my family in Korea. And I was able to take my mind off of things and focus really on having fun, which I should have been doing in London as well. I did my best to forget about what had happened in London because it was so traumatic and unexpected, and I honestly did my best to try to forget that it ever happened because I didn't know how else to approach something so heavy. But after my summer trip, I was going to be starting my sophomore year of high school. And for me, my sophomore year of high school was one of the worst years of my life. And it was very rough, and I was undergoing a lot of changes in my life. And during that time, my sister had just left for college. And one of my best friends, Dylan, who's in Shameless, had just moved away to a different state. During that time, my life just took a whole 180-degree spin, and I found myself in a situation where I had nobody to confide in. Because of this, I started developing social anxiety, and I believed that everyone hated me and always felt like I was being stared at or judged. So as soon as I would walk into a classroom, no one was looking at me, no one was talking about me, but the thoughts in my head were just screaming at me, everyone hates you, no one likes you here, like, go back home, you don't belong here. This was so different for me because just in my freshman year of high school and even before then, I was a really outgoing person. I was really outspoken, I loved trying new things, and I was just a confident and happy person. Also at this time, I was having trouble at home because I was so stressed at school. I would come home and I would be so upset and I would just go straight to my bed and start sleeping all day. And so obviously my grades were dropping because I wasn't doing my homework, I wasn't studying. And so I didn't want to tell my parents either because I myself was confused about what's going on. And so almost every day I would get in a fight with my parents when I got back home. And so I was having trouble at school and then I was coming back home and then I was also having trouble at home. And so during that time, I just didn't know where I belonged because in both settings, I didn't really feel super safe.
I can't imagine just constantly not having a place where you don't feel stress and you feel just comfortable and with no worries. Because, I mean, like at school and at home, you had your own struggles that you had to deal with. And so I can't imagine how hard that must have been. And school in general, it can just be, I don't want to use the word toxic, but if you think about it, like, it's just really hard. Everyone's trying to fit in and they're trying to figure out who they
especially
are.
Especially in high school.
And so I'm sure, mm-hmm. yeah, and it can also just be really easy to start feeling outcasted. And so, yeah, I'm really sorry that you were going through that.
I think also at this point, like, you see everyone else having friends and it seems like they're having the time of their lives and they have no struggles, they have no problems. It's only you who has the struggle and you feel like, why can't I fit in? But, you know, you feel it because you feel so lonely. But in real life, like, everyone else has their own problems. You just can't see it.
The social anxiety that I was going through at the time was, like, trapping me in, like, this constant cycle of fear. And unfortunately, this fear triggered the OCD or the obsessive thoughts and the compulsive actions, and my mind started wandering. And I started to believe that in order to prevent people from hating me or in order to prevent some embarrassing event that can possibly make people make fun of me, that I had to perform these actions or behave in a certain way. For example, one of the things that I did most was to put the folders and notebooks that I had in my backpack in a specific order. So for example, it would go green folder, purple folder, red folder, then my planner. I remember in my mind, I was thinking that I could have a chance of having a good day if my folders were in that particular order. So I was also so desperate and I wanted to have a good day so bad that I believed that if I did this, that it could really make it come true. But of course, it never did. And so the social anxiety and the thoughts in my head were getting so out of hand. And it was preventing me from being able to function properly, and I couldn't focus on school or anything that I should have been able to. At this point, I still hadn't told my parents anything, and I hadn't told anyone. I kept piling things inside of myself, and I wanted to hide my feelings and thoughts from everybody else. I was so convinced that nobody would be able to understand my feelings. And I also didn't want to be labeled as someone who is weak or especially someone who is crazy, because that's what I believed I was at the time. And I felt so lonely because of this. And I felt like an outcast who was separated from the world. I rarely felt connected. I kept things to myself for the remainder of the first semester of school. And I felt like I had changed into a completely different person at that point. And I remember during class, when the social anxiety thoughts in my head would get so loud, like they were screaming thoughts in my head, I would hide in the bathroom. That was one of the first places I went to, and I just started hiding in there. I remember when I would lock myself in, it felt so safe because I felt like the bathroom is pretty quiet for the most part during class, and you're just locked in three walls and the wall behind you. I remember when I would go out of the bathroom and wash my hands, I would look in the mirror, and I always remember I would stare back at this unhappy person, and I remember looking at myself and asking, like, why do I feel so different? Why do I look so different? I look so dull. And I just felt like the life inside of me that I had before was just completely gone. I realized that I was going through every day just existing, and towards the end of the first semester of sophomore year, I was just so numb to all the pain. So at first, I was having panic attacks almost all the time during school, and it used to affect me a lot. Sometimes I would like cry because it was so much, but towards the end, I just got so numb to the pain of the feeling of panic. It just felt so normal to me at that point. So winter break finally rolled around, and I had a two-week break, but at that point, I was at one of the lowest points in my life. But luckily, because I did have a break from school, I was able to spend a lot of time alone just in my comfort zone, which was my room. And after winter break, I felt a little better and I decided to push through and go back to school. When I went to school the next day, I remember sitting in one of my classes, and everything felt completely different. Having had a break from being in a constant cycle of fear made me realize how bad my situation was and how serious my problem was, because at that point, I felt everything again. I knew that I couldn't continue living life that way and that I deserved a much better life. I knew I needed help, but this time I had decided to do it for myself. And I think before opening up to others, I think one of the most important and hard things I had to do was be able to acknowledge my struggles and hardships to myself I think I was in denial of what was going on to me, and I tried pushing aside my problems because I wanted to be normal and I wanted to be how I was before. And acknowledging my situation as what it was really helped me understand that these things didn't define who I was, and I was able to kind of separate it from myself. But opening up to others was definitely not easy. And for me, one of the hardest people to open up to were my parents. It was something I thought was impossible because I felt so misunderstood by them. Because we were constantly fighting almost every day, our relationship was horrible. I just kept thinking that they would never understand. And I just built up so much anger towards them. But at one point, always remembering that I had to do it for myself, I gained the courage to talk to them because I knew it was something I had to do. Helping them understand took a lot of time. And looking back, I'm sure it was hard for my parents to hear that their child was struggling and also that they weren't able to help me for so long. But in the end, my parents did end up understanding and they supported me to recovery. Because they supported me, I was able to talk to different medics and therapists to try to figure out what was exactly causing my struggles. When I did go to a medic, I was informed that I was struggling with something called obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, and it wasn't my brain going crazy. Hearing a professional tell me that what I was going through could be labeled as something, for me, that gave me so much relief because it made me realize that other people struggle with this as well, and that I wasn't completely alone or this wasn't just happening to me. I just want to briefly go over what obsessive compulsive disorder is because I do think it's something that's misunderstood and something that a lot of people don't know about. So, obsessive compulsive disorder is a mental illness that causes repeated unwanted thoughts or sensations or the urge to do something over and over again. I think I went on WebMD and I read one of the examples they had, which I really related to. And they said, OCD isn't about habits like biting your nails or thinking negative thoughts. An obsessive thought might be that certain numbers or colors are good or bad. A compulsive habit might be to wash your hands 7 times after touching something that could be dirty. Although you may not want to think or do these things, you feel powerless to stop. I remember when I was little, I used to think that people who were clean were OCD. And if like my sister was being cleaner than usual, I would tell her, oh my God, you're so OCD. But looking back, that's definitely not something I should have said or some word that people should say so easily because it's a debilitating disorder that so many people struggle through and it causes a lot of people pain.
To be honest, I was pretty misinformed about OCD. And I just remember whenever someone was trying to be a perfectionist about something, complaining about how messy their handwriting was at school, I would say, why are you being so OCD about this? Or if we had to stand in a circle for like a group activity, I would say, guys, we have to stand in a circle. Oh, sorry, this is just my OCD kicking in. And I don't know why there was just this idea in my head that OCD, I didn't treat it as something that was serious. I was treating it as just something anyone could have. I related it to having perfectionism or being a perfectionist, but that's really not what it is. And that's what I've come to realize. And I hope that other people also learn to understand that as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people go through that, especially when you're younger. I feel like OCD has become such a common phrase to use. And I feel like because of that, a lot of people don't know the specific implications of it. And so I definitely think that more education needs to be amplified regarding OCD.
Yeah, even as someone who struggled through OCD in my past, I had no idea what it was. And I think people just need to be more informed about it. And, you know, I feel like if they were, they would stop using it in ways that kind of don't really represent what it really means. Hearing that I had OCD was so relieving because I wasn't going crazy. And after that, I was able to find a community of people who are undergoing struggles similar to mine and people who did have OCD and hear about their struggles and their experiences. And that really relieved the burden that I was carrying on my shoulders. And I felt like I wasn't alone in my journey of overcoming my hardships and struggles. Looking back at everything that I went through, I really wish that I hadn't kept my struggles to myself for so long. And I also want to give A warm hug to my confused and scared self in the London Museum, and also to the Emily who is always hiding in the bathroom, that everything would be okay and the world isn't, you know, such a scary place, and there are people who will listen to you. Reflecting back, I also think it would have been impossible for me to speak about my experiences in the museum because I was so held back by the fear. And I also remember one of the first people that I told about my story was actually Dylan. And I remember back then, I had no idea that it was OCD. And just to tell one of my best friends, it took months. The OCD also trapped me in a second cycle of fear because it told me that if you tell someone about it, it's going to actually happen, because it didn't happen in London. But if you say it again, it's going to happen for real this time. And so now I'm able to kind of remember that it's these crazy thoughts and ideas in my mind are just my anxiety bullying me into believing that I have to live in a life trapped in a cycle of worry. I finally know that I don't have to live that way, and that I can control my life by taking care of myself and being unapologetically shameless about my struggles. To be completely honest, there are still times today where I struggle with feelings of fear, sadness, or panic, and sometimes when I'm scared of something, my OCD thoughts will kick right back in. But I always remember that if I'm going through something hard, then I'm not alone in my struggles, and that those times will pass. To take away from my story, I just wanted to tell everyone who's listening that you should never struggle in silence, and that there are people out in the world who are willing to listen to your story and provide you with the help you need, and that everyone deserves to live a happy life, and you should never let your hardship silence the voice inside of you.
I just want to say, like, as someone who watched you go through this, I know we say proud a lot, but I'm really proud of you, because, like, I remember when you were telling me you didn't want to tell your parents, and just hearing how you reflected on that and you realized why they reacted the way they did is just shows how much you've grown through this experience, and I'm just really proud of you for that.
You did mention how, like, trying to reach out to get help and acknowledging that you were going through struggles in order to get help was the toughest part for you. And so being able to actually overcome that and seek help, that takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength. So the fact that you were able to do that is just, I'm very proud that you were able to do that. Also, just sharing your story, I feel like with anyone that has gone through any struggles, it does also take courage to share your story, because as you tell these events, you're reliving the moments, and it can be hard to try to recall these stories, but I'm sure it's really helpful for other people who might need to hear this too. So also thank you so much for sharing your story.
For sure. Yeah, I think that when I was writing out what I wanted to say, I wasn't going to go into specifics about the war museum, just because it's not something I like to talk about. I was looking at pictures of it, and I could remember each emotion that I felt. But I don't know, after sharing and reading out specifics of what happened, it kind of releases a lot of the stress I had attached to that museum. And I'm able to, like, you know, let it go. And so if it can help people, then I'm sure that every single moment was worth it.
I haven't been friends with you for long, but when you meet people, you never know, like, what experiences they've gone through in the past. And so many people judge people because of things that they do, but they don't know, like, what's happening behind it, what they've gone through. And I think that that's something that really should change. And I hope that this podcast episode will help people understand that lots of people go through struggles and everyone needs to be compassionate of them. And I completely understand the fear of telling people. Obviously, I do not have OCD, so I do not completely understand, but it's really scary and it's really embarrassing at the same time, because it feels like you're not yourself and it feels like the whole world will, like, change their perspective of you if you tell someone. So I'm really proud of you.
To be honest, I was really nervous about sharing this story, and I was having last minute thoughts like I should just change my story to something else, because I was kind of thinking that people who listen to this podcast may just, you know, like define me as someone who went through OCD. And a lot of times I don't tell anyone about what I went through because I don't want to be labeled like that. Or I don't want to be connected to that. But I have to be shameless about it because it's something that in a way made me a lot of a better person. And I'm able to understand other people's struggles a lot better. And I learned so much more about myself through this journey.
Yeah, this is just one part of you, but doesn't define you.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think a part of it is like, we're humans. We're going to like make mistakes. We have problems. Like that's what being a human is. And going through this doesn't make you weak. It only makes you stronger. And feeling these emotions, which most people think make you weak, it's wrong, because if you are shameless enough to show the whole world that you have gone through struggles and you've come out the other side stronger, then that just makes you incredibly more strong.
You worded that in such a nice way, Anya.
No, oh my God.
I love that.
I also wanted to say that I'm proud of you, like everyone else here also said, just for like telling your parents, because that takes guts and opening up to others. And knowing that you were able to come so far is so empowering. And just like you were able to find a community by listening to other stories who have OCD, I hope that others were also able to connect with you just like I did.
I also want to add, I know I said before, like, to show the world you can recover, but I also want to add to all those people who are listening who have not recovered fully and not come out the other side, the fact that you're fighting still makes you strong and shameless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Shameless Podcast. I hope that my story can encourage others to be shameless and also spread awareness for OCD. Stay tuned for our next episodes, where the other founders, Hania, Dylan, Srinidhi, and Abby, will share their own personal stories. See you soon!